Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 12 on this 18th day of May. Praise God. Graduation month, 2025. I was thinking, I think when I graduated, we graduated at the end of the month. Well, I guess that's right. They graduated on the 24th. And I think I graduated May 30th. Praise God. Coming up another year anniversary. And boy, I tell you, time sure goes by fast. Because I graduated from high school, Estacada, 39 years ago. And certainly it sure did go fast. Like, man, you never know. Time waits on no one, and life is nothing but a vapor. Praise God. And I was thinking about how we think that we have so much time on this earth, but we don't know the day nor the hour. We have an allotted time that only God knows that we have. We could be here today and be here and gone tomorrow. We was in the service with Pastor Lawson on the anniversary, celebrating the church's 97th anniversary, and he quickly fell ill, said that he had one of the worst headaches that he ever had. Lo and behold, he was having a stroke. And he never did recover. Passed away. He wasn't an old man. He was just 71 years old. My God, we never know. My cousin went to sleep. He went to work and talking with his family and kids and grandkids. And 52 years old, he went to sleep and didn't wake up. I mean, we just don't know. But I do know one thing, and the thing that I want to talk about today is we can never talk enough about prayer. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, the power of a praying church. I solicit your prayers. I've been having some problems with my hip. And I don't know, it runs down my quadricep all the way down to my shin area. And then sometimes it just stops and I'm good. Of course, I work a lot, but then I don't think that I bumped it on nothing or nothing like that. It could be wear and tear. I don't know. But I got an upcoming physical that I'm going to tell my primary care physician about the problems that I'm having so I can go get an MRI and find out what's going on, because the pain could be excruciating. Man, I'm using some good words that I learned when I was in school. Pray God. When I was running around in Parkway, Texas, I wasn't thinking about no word called excruciating. So, but when I went to school, I found out they had some different words that I could use other than the four-letter words and all the other words that I was using. It wasn't good. But we thank God for prayer. We thank God for him being a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our very pathway. But let us read this Acts just to establish, and of course we love scripture over here at True Identity, and I will share those scriptures with you. I got 4 points or 4 things concerning prayer, and then I want to give you a to-do list about prayer that you can write down or summarize. Praise God. I don't even know if they teach shorthand anymore in school. I doubt if they do. I never took the class, no way. But anyway, I know that it was available. Acts chapter 12, and we'll start at verse, at verse 1. Are you there? Amen. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Look at this. Look at this Herod. There was a whole family of wickedness that they passed it down from the grandfather to the granddaddy, to the son, to the son's son. just hurrah these wicked people. A generation. They the one that chopped off John the Baptist's head. Somebody say that family. So here it was that this man right here stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He was a hater of the church. And you know, sometimes people in the community, they get mad at us because we want to do the right thing. We don't always do the right thing. Let's get that straight. But we strive to do the right thing. And then you always got some outsiders that are always talking about what the church not doing and what they should be doing. But if you know these things already, why don't you become a part of the church so it can be better? But here it is. He stretched out his hand and was coming against old wicked self, talking about certain folk in the church. I could just imagine. But let's find out what he said. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. He done stabbed James. John's brother. Killed him with a big long knife. They call it a sword. Right? And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then he was after Peter. Mm-hmm. Don't kill Peter. Ain't this crazy?
Yeah.
He was a straight hater. Yeah. Was against the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
He killed James.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then he seen that they were clapping and celebrating that he killed James. You know, it's not good to celebrate, even though somebody might do something to our family and we wish harm on. Don't wish harm on nobody. Even though it might be adding you, because I know I got if somebody mess with some of my family members, y'all pray for me because I want to get them.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be honest. He did what?
Yeah.
He slapped Nana. What?
Yeah.
Let me go. We're not going to do that. We got a problem with that. Pastor was over there trying to jump on Lil Jon. Well, Lil Jon shouldn't have slapped Nana.
Yeah.
I got a problem with that. That's why we're talking about prayer, because it's going to take a lot of prayer for we not to beat up Lil Jon. And drag Lil Jon like the little girl at the still. Told the little girl she better not come to reset because she's going to drag her through the stickers.
My God. At school.
The man killed James. Then he was after Peter.
Yeah.
He had a problem with these brothers, these men of God. These men that was preaching the gospel.
Yes.
These men that was praying, man. He had a problem with that. But he seen that the Jews was cheering him on, so he went after Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Then, somebody say then. Were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep them. In my calculation, four quadrants, that means 16.
Yeah.
Don't it? Ain't that what that is?
Yeah.
To keep him, they had high security on this man.
Oh,
they caught Peter, and it took 16 police COs to guard him.
My God.
And then
Peter didn't play no game, dude.
Of soldiers to keep him intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison. But this is what I like about this whole thing. The power. Somebody say the power.
The power.
Of a praying church.
Church.
Here it was. They caught him. Had him on high security. 16 COs. Had him where he couldn't go nowhere. Four on every side. Make sure he couldn't get away. But what they said was, in the text, Peter therefore kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Huh? I think this right here, an established text of what we're talking about. I thought about the significance. Oh, there go a good word again. I thought about the significance of prayer. When you think about the power of a praying church, you think about how we come together collectively in a building and pray. Prayer has many parts, and I will elaborate on that later. But what I thought about more than anything is prayers in our individual churches, not in the building. Are you with me now? So that's what I want to talk about, because what's important is not the building when we come and pray. That's good. But when you're praying in your individual church, when we're not in the building. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because it's very important that we have a prayer life. And that your church is praying when we don't gather in the building. Because we could have some more people here, but hopefully in their absence, they're still praying at church. Are you with me now? I don't want to lose nobody, because I'm not talking about a physical church. I'm talking about you, church. I'm talking about us, the church that he's coming back to get when it's all said and done. He's not coming back for these beautiful buildings, the stained glass and all that, and the beautiful pews and the altar and all that. He's coming back for his church. And I want to know if the church is really praying together without being in the building. Because here it was, they wasn't in prison with Peter.
That's right.
But they prayed without ceasing.
Yeah.
They was praying for Peter and wasn't even in his presence.
Yeah.
They had some praying churches that came together collectively and was praying on his behalf. Are you with me now?
Yeah.
So when I thought about this, I said, my goodness, that's good to me. Somebody say the power of a praying church.
Power of a praying church.
If you would turn to Colossians, let's go to Colossians. I like this right here. Let's see. Pray go. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I hope I don't break this thing with this 250. Verses 9. Y'all don't mind me sitting right here, right, just for a little bit, right? Pray God. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We're on verse 11. Colossians chapter 1, verse
11 now.
Yes. We're on verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Y'all don't remember what we used to say that at praise them? This same prayer right here. But this was Paul. Paul was praying this particular prayer. He was praying for the churches. Do y'all know that? He was praying for the churches. That's a powerful prayer. Paul was definitely a praying man. Can I give you four things about prayer? And then I'm going to break them down, each one of them. Y'all write these four things down. Talking about prayer. Somebody say power of prayer church.
Power of praying church.
Okay. Number one. Prayer is privilege. Can we attest to that?
Yes, sir.
You know why I say that, people of God? Because listen, everybody's prayers are not heard.
Right.
Let's just get that straight.
Right.
Everybody's prayer not heard, because can I equate that? Well, I'm using
good
words. Can I equate that to
when you want something, like, because I work in the school. I've been working in the school with the kids. Check this out. Kids, they won't always want something. They want to go to the treasure box. I don't care about no treasure box. Cause I don't want you to think that because you do something good, then I'm going to give you something. You ought to do good because you're supposed to.
Exactly, yeah.
But to have opportunities at things that might be given to you as a privilege, you have to do things according to the rules, stipulations, whatever the case may be, in order to be eligible to receive these because it is a privilege.
Yeah.
You are not going to get any blessings from God if you think you can live your life kind of way then pray to God to get some and be a recipient of some of the blessings that he have because you disqualify yourself because it's a privilege. And now, since I got myself together and I'm doing what God told me to do, I'm keeping his commandments. Right. I know how to treat himself. I got the first two commandments, love God with all my heart, mind, and soul. And then love my neighbor as myself. And then when I go to God, when I go through some situations, circumstances, and dilemmas in life, then things start happening when life God life, and then I can go to God with confidence. That's why we can boldly approach his throne. And when I ask God, because I have a privilege, I have an inheritance to be a recipient of what God has for me. I can go to God and get the blessings that specifically, oh man, he's some good words, specifically got my name on.
That's right.
I can't do whatever I want to do and then go to God and ask God for some of these privileges. That's just like a little girl. That's just like a boy, your son or your daughter, that they can lose their privileges. And the way that they lose their privileges, they don't do what they're supposed to do. And then they want to go to the mall with their friends. They want some allow, but you're not getting that because you lost your privilege. Prayer is a privilege. Are you with me now? Prayer is a privilege. Don't play with God like, I'm going to do me. And then when things start happening, then I go to God and try to get something from God. Because prayer is a privilege. Are you with me now? So now, prayer is a privilege purchased by the blood. So now we are able to approach God. Can we read some scripture? Can we look at it? Ephesians? I'm gonna back it up. I'm gonna back it up with scripture, not what Pastor Tyrone say, huh? Amen. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, and we're gonna hit this, and then who cooked? Oh, y'all didn't cook. Don't worry about it. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's start at verse 12. I want to see what they're saying about it. Let's start at 12. And we'll read down maybe to about 21. I told you I was going to give you some scripture. Are you there? Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 12. And we might read up to 21. I might stop. Are you there? In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. I can stop. I can stop right there. Because when I get ready to pray, I'm confident and I'm bold because I have access because I haven't revoked my privilege. And now that I'm in good standing with God, I can go to God with great confidence and boldness because I have access to ask him for one of my needs. Because I read in the Bible that he said that he'll supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. That's what I read. Huh? And so prayer is a privilege. And then he says, just that right there alone. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, on whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God.
Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, talking about prayer, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Somebody say it's a privilege.
It's a privilege.
So, since I'm a part of the family, I can talk to God about my issues and my family's issues. Because I have access. Somebody say, I got access.
I got access.
So, we got to understand that. What do John 9:31 say? Let's look at it. Let's look at John 9 and 31. Man, all these scriptures. Man. See, this is why I say, listen, this is why I say that prayer is a privilege. This proves it right here. Watch this. 9:31. We had a couple that was here.
Yes, sir.
They got mad because I said that. And they were doing the most. I ain't going to call their name. I don't put people on black. It is what it is. People have been mad at me. This ain't going to be the last time. Right? Amen. I'm just preaching the gospel. You see what it said? It say, now we know. Somebody say, we know now.
We know now.
Y'all really? Okay. Somebody say, I know now.
I know now.
It says, now we know that God heareth not sinners. But, there go that but though. It says, but if any man be a worshiper of a God, first it's a worshiper. Anytime that you sing yourself, because a lot of us can't sing. Worship is more than singing. We got to get the meaning. We're going to talk about that one day. Worship, what worship is, the worship of it, right? It says, he says, but if any man be a worshiper, that's one, and doeth his will, him he heareth. I can't lose though. That's what gives me the privilege. Because you ask him for something. He says, I don't hear what you're saying. The reason why I don't hear, there's a difference between sin and sinners.
Yeah.
Can we go to school right now?
Yeah.
Let's go to school.
Yeah. Sin is a commission of an act that's contrary to God's will.
Yes, sir.
I realize that, and there's a conviction that comes over me because I did it, and I say, God, I'm not going to do that anymore, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It doesn't glorify God.
Yeah.
That's why it says all have sinned.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And fallen short or come short of the glory of God. Because when I do what's good in God's sight, I glorify him because I'm doing what he asked me to do. It glorifies God.
Right?
In the midst of people, whoever you're around, your little clique, your little group, when they get ready to do that, a group of men got mad at me. I was at a therapeutic community, and they had some song that we supposed to be doing, some kind of military step, and they chose a song. This dude, he go up there, do it's a lot to pray about. He was a Muslim, and he didn't have no moral compass. But I was in the midst of changing, and God was doing something to me, because I didn't want to fight no more. I didn't want to gamble no more. I didn't want to smoke no weed no more. I didn't want to drink no chalk no more. I didn't want to. I said, man, I'm still the same way I was when I was out there. I need to change my life. So I started working on my thinking. Be renewed by your mind. And so they was talking about some song. I don't know if Lil Jon, the Yin Yang Twins, or Ski Ski on the Wall. I'm like, man, I'm not doing no step to that nonsense.
Ski Ski on the Wall.
Yeah. With all you Ski Ski. I'm like, man, I'm not. Y'all know the song? I said, what? Every time church
I guess he's supposed to be the leader of the little dude. He was down from Texas City down there by here. He act like he wanted to get live. And God forgive me. Because I'm good at getting live. And I say, well, if it is God, I'm getting ready to see God call. I'm getting ready to beat the brakes off this young man. I really don't want you.
Get ready to see.
But he's not going to talk to me no any kind of way.
Amen.
No, ain't that crazy?
Amen.
Lo and behold, that what I had to do.
Did you
believe it? You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
But he says, a worshiper and somebody that do what he tell me, it gives me access because I'm worshiping God, I'm glorifying God in my actions and what I do.
Yes.
And he said, those that worship me in spirit and in truth, right? I'm living after your truth, God,
and
I worship you in the midst of that. I'm walking, and so it glorifies you, and I'm giving you worship. I'm not worshiping something else. See, I'm worshiping God through how I treat God and how I live for God and how I be obedient to his word. That's worship.
Yeah,
worship. See, a true worshiper. And so it's a privilege. But, I mean, I did tell him about himself, and I touched him a couple of times, and it was all good. Right?
Amen.
We let that go.
Amen.
Proverbs 28:9. We still on prayer as a privilege. Proverbs 28:9 says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination.
I'm just giving you the scripture. That's why I know prayer is a privilege.
Yes.
Huh? He said, man, you ain't trying to hear nothing about my word, and then you coming to me, you ain't trying to hear nothing about my law, but you heard that I'm a prayer. You done seen me heal Big Mama. You seen me job counsel. You seen me somebody was pushing a basket around for 8 years. I had a friend that pushed the back. He was just like us. He grew up with us. We kicked it with us. And then next thing you know, he got a hold to some bad dope, and it took him crazy for 8 years, and he was walking around like he worked at a bakery and went all white on pushing a basket for 8 years.
Jesus.
And God touched his mind one day while he was pushing his basket.
My God.
And gave him back his mind.
Thank you, God. Only God.
And all he do is, He just want to be in church. I seen him, man. I'm coming to that more times four, man. I came to the last three, and I'm coming again this year, man. I appreciate it, man. Good to see you, man.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
It's good to see you, man. What you up to, man? Just working, man. Just trying to maintain. Just praising God.
Yes, thank you for another.
I know God did it for me.
Oh,
he
yeah.
pushed a basket around
My
8 years.
My God, okay, God.
Out of his mind.
Nobody but
somebody laced some dope and he smoked it.
Jesus.
Yeah. They putting that fentanyl and stuff, they driving folk crazy.
Yes.
And
yes.
You ingest enough of that fentanyl, it'll kill you. Just like that.
Yeah.
Going to them parties. Man, let's try this. Don't try nothing.
Nothing.
Don't. If you drink, don't put your drink down. If you're going to go get, I'm not trying to promote no drinking, but we know how kids do. They get what they homies. You go out to college, y'all go to the party. You see what I'm saying? Nah. You got to be careful. You got them perverts out there. They be trying to get you, put some in your drink. You got to be alert at all times. Yeah, because it's bad out here. Prayer is a privilege. Number two, prayer is for accountability. Prayer is for accountability. Can we look at Galatians right quick? Let's look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. It's for accountability, and I thought this scripture goes along with that, because in verse 1:1-5 it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. Somebody say accountability.
Accountability.
Prayer is accountability. You got to be accountable. Right? You have to be accountable. Number three, prayer changes things. Can we go to Nehemiah chapter 1? Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah is right after Ezra, in between Ezra and Esther. After the first Chronicle and second Chronicles is Ezra, then Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1. Let's go to verse 4, and we'll read 4 through 11, because we're talking about prayer changes things. Are you there? And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandment. Y'all see that word terrible? See, in our language, we think he's talking about God. But that word terrible right there, that's why you got to get your Bible tools and find out what does that word specifically mean in that particular text. It doesn't mean the definition that we have. Are you with me? It doesn't mean that. So it says, he says, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear not be attentive and thy eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of children of Israel, which have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept thy the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nation. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were you cast out unto the uttermost parts of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by the strong hand. O Lord, beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Boy, that Nehemiah was a praying man. You hear him praying to God? Not only for himself and admitting that he was wrong and not being snooty like he don't never do nothing wrong, but he was talking about the things that he had done wrong. So Nehemiah was a praying man. He prayed to God continuously. I said he prayed to God continuously. He understood that in order for things to change, he needed to pray to God about it. Some of us are sitting in here and our lives are in ruin, and there is rubbish everywhere, and we don't even know what to do about it. The answer is prayer. Somebody say prayer.
Prayer.
Nehemiah's prayer not only changed things, but it gave him access to what he needed to change the situation. Prayer changes things, gives us access and direction. And just like here in James 5 and 16, which is specifically for healing. This is a healing scripture. James 5 and 16. It says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a prayer of the righteous man availeth much. See, because we holding on to some things, we holding on to some odds that we have against folk. You losing your, somebody say you losing your privileges like that. You cannot have unforgiveness and walking around with offs in your heart and thinking you still got a privilege. You don't have no privileges.
None.
Because God, y'all remember in the Bible when they was bringing an offering, you steady giving offerings every week with your unforgiving self. You steady giving offerings every week and you got an out against your brother, your sister, your kinfolk, your co-worker. You got outs against your
your classmates, you got out, and you steady bringing it in like you really doing something. God say, hold up, swole them up. He say, before you bring this offering this time, he say, put your offering down, swole up, and go back and get it right with your brother, and then come back and give me your offering.
That's word.
Because you're not doing me no favor. You're not doing the pastor no favor, because I don't get no salary. Ain't never got none.
That's right.
I go to
work. Thank you, Pastor, for your service.
Cause you might have all this feet and fold up that dollar and put it in there. I can't take no portion of that for me, but I know that I'm worthy of my hire if that was the case. But Paul said, man, I ain't gonna even be of no charge to you. He said, cause a man don't work, a man don't eat. He said, man, I got my own business. I make tents, and then people give me up and give it to my bosom. I'm not gonna take from the church. But if I wanted to get some, a piece of it, I can. He said, don't muzzle the eye that tread the corn.
That's right.
That's
what that means.
Cause why?
Teach and preach.
Huh? So I go to work. I go to work. So I can provide for myself and provide for my family. I'm not waiting on nobody to, you know, and people be, oh, they just taking all the money. What money?
Bring it.
Hold on, swallow up. Hold on,
my
sword. What money?
Fork.
The first is So we know that that fervent, effective fervent prayer, that means it's coming in hot.
Yes.
But y'all be listening to them song, we coming in hot and all that. But that's what it was talking about. Fervent prayer, that means the prayer coming in hot.
Yes.
Y'all look up fervent and see what it means. I wish you would wife while I'm going to the next one. Finally, somebody say finally. The fourth prayer is a weapon.
Prayer is
a weapon.
Yes, it is.
I know you can go get your 44 Magnum, your 40 Glock, and you and go get your 9mm. We call it 9mm Nina. Not this Nina right here. I heard Nina throw some hands too, but anyway, she be tired. If she had to. Only if she had to. Pray God. So prayer is a weapon. 2 Corinthians, let's look at it so we can go home. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at it. But are you with me now? Do this make sense? Chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Let's look at it. That's how I know that prayer is a weapon. That's how I know this. It's in the scripture. Are you there?
Where
2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5.
I looked up fervently.
What it mean?
It says to pray fervently is to pray with intensity. Filled by the Holy Spirit, it can be any kind. It can be a kind of prayer. Someone can be intensely thankful, deep in need, or embroiled in a spiritual warfare.
Okay, but look up the definition. Ask Webster what fervent
means.
Yeah, I got that part. But while we going on chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, look up just fervent,
and tell
just the word fervent. Okay. Yeah, tell her what that is. For though we walk in the flesh. I'm in the flesh. I'm in the flesh. I'm able to cuss.
Oh, y'all be playing. Cuss yourself.
We can cuss. We can throw hands.
Right.
We can get mad. We can talk about it. That's somebody said that's flesh.
That's flesh.
That's what I'm talking about. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Even though I'm in the flesh, I'm gonna make that flesh shut up, cause I could cuss, quit, shut up flesh. I could fight, no, I'm not gonna hit nobody. I could be unforgiving, no, I'm gonna forgive. See, even though I'm in the flesh and I'm able to do those things, I'm not gonna war after the flesh. I'm not gonna let the flesh control me to act in that manner. That's what that scripture is saying, right? So it says, for the weapons,
Yeah, go with it. Don't let it go by itself. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, carnal is flesh.
That's it.
Carnal is flesh.
Right.
So when people marry, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But mighty for the pulling down the stronghold. That's somebody say that's spiritual.
That's spiritual.
That's praying. That's what he's talking about praying. But if you're married, when I go in the bedroom, I'm not going in the spirit. Does that make sense?
Right, of course.
I'm not going in the spirit, I'm going in the flesh.
Right.
Do that make sense?
Yes, it does.
That's crazy, ain't it? But it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down, mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold, casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I do that through prayer, because prayer is a weapon. The power of a praying church, my advice to you is to always be ready. Pray without ceasing. Mm-hmm. Put on the whole armor of God. Mm-hmm. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You can't shoot this with no AR-15.
Can't do that.
With no 44, no 38.
Yeah,
it takes really praying in the spirit realm to combat against these spiritual powers that come against our families and us as individuals.
Jesus.
See, like every time you look in the Bible, the devil was after Peter, and Jesus pulled Peter to the side one day and told him, and Peter, he told him in Luke 22 and 31 and 32, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. Somebody say power of a praying church.
Power of a praying church.
So when you think about this, praying for you when the devil was pursuing you, power of a praying church. So it doesn't matter, we pray one for another. That's what we always say on the prayer line. Man, we're praying one for another.
Yeah, definitely.
We put a list of things on to pray about. We pray for the community. We pray for our individual families. We pray for sickness and disease. We pray for what's going on in our prayer. We pray for our president. Y'all might not like, but we still pray for him.
Got to.
Yeah.
Yes, you got to pray for him.
We got to pray for him. So in conclusion, I want to give you a to-do list for prayer. And then we're going to go to the house.
Thank you.
To-do list for prayer. Y'all write these down or use your shorthand.
What may that be?
Number one, make prayer a priority. That's number one. That's number uno, uno, whatever the title. You got to make prayer a priority. You have to prioritize prayer. It has to be a part of your life. It has to be like you're eating every day.
A lifestyle.
Yeah. It has to be a lifestyle. Yeah. Number two, create a prayer list. Number two, create a prayer list. Because when we're on the prayer line, everybody take their time submitting their prayer that designates somebody that's going to pray.
Yes, what we do.
And then you the person that's praying, they'll pray that list.
Yeah, pray that list.
No matter how long it is. You know, sometimes... Well, God, you know, because people don't came to retain verbatim. I like to think that God gave me a mind to, if you tell me what to pray for, I'm going to pray.
Yeah.
That whole prayer line. It could be 10 of us on your specific prayer, I'm going to say everything that you ask for.
Right.
And if I forget something, because I can't forget, God, Brother Jim, you heard what he prayed about. You heard what he asked about. Cover everything. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I like to call it out. But if I can't remember, God, you heard what Brother Jim said.
Yes. Amen.
So, the prayer that he submitted on this morning.
Yeah.
God, grant his prayers. Give him access.
Yes.
manifest God, you know, just praying, right? Number three, make sure you pray in a quiet place.
Because you want to be focused. You can't pray with all that racket, like my grandmama used to say. Y'all go outside with all that racket. She's talking about noise. I didn't know what she was talking about at first until they told me what it meant. Because we were making too much noise. Yeah. But she called it racket.
Number four, be specific.
That's right.
In your prayers. Be specific.
Be specific in your prayers. Number five, take a notepad with you. But y'all be forgiving.
Y'all be sleep. It's good. I done gave this advice before, and lo and behold, I ain't got no notepad by because I done woke up before, and God done gave me something. And then I go back sleeping. Then when I wake up, I don't remember.
4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, waking you up.
If you really want to be tuned in with it, take your notepad in there when you go to pray. Number six, y'all quit being scared. Pray out loud. Because when we get ready to close, I'm going to ask Nana to close us out in prayer. And see if she'll pray out loud.
Yeah,
don't be shy. What the Lord you? Nah, I ain't gonna mess with you now. I'm just messing with you now. I'm not gonna call you up here, Jasmine. Pray go. I'm gonna let Jasmine make it. Pray go. Number seven, be honest about your struggles. Cause we could be dealing with some. You remember, you don't want to lose your privileges. So you know how Jesus always dealt with what they was struggling with first, before he did something for them. He dealt with that sin problem first. And then he blessed them. Yes. Number eight, pray the word. Just pray the word that applies to your life and others. Pray the word. Amen. Those eight things, to-do list, we want you to make sure that you follow those things. Develop your prayer life. Amen?
Amen.
We thank God for this opportunity once again to be able to give you a word on this morning. It's approximately 12:31, and this was a longer message. It took me 47 minutes and 45 seconds. May God bless you. May God keep you.